Hi, I'm Monica Hallan, and this is my podcast, Let's Talk Money. Every Friday, a new episode will drop that gives you a snapshot analysis of one money-related topic that has meaning in your life. And then I answer your money questions. My hope is to put you on the path to financial stability and freedom. So, let's talk money. It's that time of the year when the tax filing date is coming closer and we are all getting our paperwork in place. If you remember, I explained the basics of the Indian tax system, which is relevant to us as individuals, in episode 13. You should go back and listen to it if you have not done so already. But today I'm going to unpack the capital gains tax. But let's do a quick rundown of the basics once more. Savings become investments when they pass through asset classes such as equity, debt, gold, and real estate. And these assets give income that can be rent, interest, dividend, and they also generate profits. The categorization into income and profits is important from the taxation point of view because income and profits are taxed at different rates. You should not confuse income with profit. Income from an asset is usually added to your total income and then taxed at your slab level. This means that the rent from the house you've leased out, the interest on your deposit, and the dividend from your stocks get added to your total income and is taxed at your highest slab rate. Profits from an asset class are classified as being either short or long-term, and the tax rate is different for the two. Usually, the long-term capital gains taxes are lower than the short-term rates in an attempt of the government to keep you in the asset longer. How long you hold an asset determines whether it's classified as short or long-term. So real estate goes long-term after a holding period of 2 years, gold goes long-term at 3 years, and stocks go long-term after just a one-year holding period. Short-term profits are mostly added to your income, and of course then taxed at slab level. Long-term rates, as I said, are lower. The gold and real estate long-term capital gains tax rate is 20% with indexation. Equity is taxed long-term at 10% without indexation. New word, indexation, what is this? You must have heard stories of the family elders talking about buying property for a few lakhs that are worth a few crores now. Lost in the story is the long holding period of 20 or 30 years that has turned the lakhs into crores. Of concern to these people is the huge profit such a sale would mean today. Over a 20-year period, 50 lakh rupees has turned into 2 crores, means a profit of 1.5 crore. We are not considering other costs here. This would mean a huge tax outflow of 30 lakh according to the current tax rates. But the prices 20 years ago cannot be compared with prices today. Inflation has caused a part of this price rise. Therefore, we need a way to inflation index the prices of the past to bring them to comparable levels to today before we tax this profit. The government gives us a way to do this by using what is called the price indexation route. You take the price of the past and get it up to date by using an inflation index which is published by the government. There is a formula and there are calculators online to help you figure this out. But what happens if you make losses? The tax laws allow you to do two things. You can set off losses and you can carry them forward to the future financial years. A set off means that you can reduce your profits from another asset to account for the loss incurred in the same year. If the loss is too large, then it can be carried forward to a future year for a set-off in that year. Your CA will know the latest rates and rules because these rules keep changing and this information is valid as of April 2024. And we move on to questions. May, what do we have this week?
So this first question comes in from Mayank Gaba from Gurugram. He says, I'm 30 and working in the corporate sector. For short-term goals, I mainly use FDs. long-term or retirement, I use PPF and PF debt instruments for utilizing my entire limit of 1.5 lakh. As for equity, I plan to invest mainly in index funds. Can Nifty Next 50, Mid Cap 150, or Small Cap 250 index be considered for diversification and maybe a slightly better return? Or should I stick only to the bellwether Nifty 50 Sensex index for retirement planning? Thanks.
Mayank from Gurugram, at 30, you seem to be really sorted in your investment journey, and that's good for me to hear. Your pluses are that at age 30, you are already beginning to split your goals into short and long-term goals. You're using fixed deposits for short-term goals and a mix of debt and equity for the longer duration goals. You're also sure that you want to invest only through the index funds. You have decided to take the passive investing route forward. Of course, passive funds are those that track an index, and there is no fund manager skill involved in choosing stocks. You simply mimic the index and get index return. But when you open up the list of index funds, we see there are several hundred index funds on offer. A good way to shortlist is to have an asset allocation in place. A fairly universal allocation is between large, mid, and small cap stocks, with half your portfolio in large cap and a quarter each in mid and small caps. Index funds on the Nifty 50 or Sensex are a great option for the large cap part of your portfolio. For the other two, you'll have to choose out of the basket of mid and small cap index funds. While I don't recommend product names, I can give you pointers on how to choose. You have asked if you should consider Nifty 50. So Nifty 50 is the first 50 large cap stocks, keeping you firmly in the large cap bucket. I would prefer that you keep your large cap part of the portfolio as risk reduced as possible and stay with the Nifty 50 linked index fund. Now you can begin to introduce risk in the portfolio with mid and small cap index linked funds. You've mentioned Nifty Mid-Cap 150. This index represents 150 companies that are ranked 101 to 250 based on market capitalization from the Nifty 500. These are the top 150 companies in the mid-cap space. Some of these will make the leap into becoming large caps over their journey. This is a good index to track. The other index you've mentioned is Small Cap 250 Index. Nifty Small Cap 250 represents 250 companies that rank from 250 first to 500, again from Nifty 500. This is a good index to track because it's taking into account the top 250 small cap companies by market cap. You are staying away from the micro caps, which are even more volatile and unpredictable. What you need to remember while buying index funds are three things. One, buy direct and avoid the trail commission that a regular plan will cost you. Since you are in any case doing all the work yourself, you don't need to pay a higher cost. Two, choose a fund with a low tracking error. I'm putting a link for tracking error screener in the show notes for those who are keen to use it. And three, choose a fund with a low expense ratio. Mayank from Gurugram, I'm wishing you a rich money journey ahead.
This question comes in from Sering Choden. I wanted to show you my asset allocation so that you may guide me if it needs to be changed. I'm a 38-year-old woman, and I started my financial journey in 2021, and currently, my holdings are as follows. 52% in large cap, 12.7% in sectoral, 8% in mid cap, 12% in multi cap, and 15% in flexi cap. This is for my retirement and child education mainly. So, number one, after reviewing myself, I feel that the sectoral fund exposure has to be reduced. Also, its expense ratio increased recently, so I'm thinking of switching it to a lower expense ratio. Will it be wise to do so? Number two, I do not have a small cap fund. Do I need to take one? Number three, can I switch the funds while the SIP is continuing? And number four, where should I put the lump sum money at this time for medium or long-term investment? Oh, and number five, besides RD, which one do you suggest for 2, 3, and 5 year goals?
That's a lot of questions, Sering. Let me try and answer as many as I can. So the answer to your first and second question is that your asset allocation is in the right direction, but it can do with a few tweaks. A good portfolio has normally a 50% allocation to large caps with a smaller allocation between riskier classes like mid and small cap. You should know that both multi-cap and flexi-cap categories that you have a substantial allocation towards large caps. This means that your total large cap allocation is almost reaching 60 to 65%. I would rationalize this down. Now, between the multi-cap and the flexi-cap category, the multi-cap category is better since there's a minimum 25% allocation in each of the three market caps, large, mid, and small. Flexi-cap funds are allowed to go anywhere and tend to have a large cap bias. I would look at the performance of each of these categories. Are the multi, flexi and sector funds beating the Nifty 50 and Sensex? They should be giving you at least 4 to 5 percentage points higher return than the broad market index. If they are not, clearly the choice of funds is wrong or the category is not outperforming the large cap index. Your sectoral allocation is quite high and again, you need to check the performance to see if it's outperforming the basic broad market benchmark or not. So instead of selling, you can stop further inflows and direct them into stocking up in the mid and the small cap part of the portfolio. Next, to switch SIPs, you will have to sell the scheme of one fund house and invest in the other one. There is no automatic switch without a sale. And remember that a sale comes with a tax impact, so do mind that cost. Third, a lump sum of money is best invested in your equity portfolio over the horizon of 6 months to a year, so that a sudden fall in the market doesn't catch you on the wrong side. Once you've tweaked your portfolio, just add the SIP so that that part which needs shoring up is funded. Use an STP, a systematic transfer plan, to do this. Remember to use the liquid fund of the same fund house to set up the STP into the target equity fund that you're choosing. One of the rookie mistakes I made when I started this is I chose the liquid fund of Fund House A while my target equity was Fund House B. That was an early mistake and I don't want you to repeat it. Last, for the short-term goals, FDs and RDs are great. But you can also consider some debt funds because you're fairly conversant with mutual funds. Money market funds and banking and PSU bond funds are great for the time horizon that you're keen to target. Looking at your portfolio and your questions, Sring, I can see that you're all set for a financially fit future.
Here's a question that comes in from Pune. This is Pradeep Mohandas who asks, I have been using 3 credit cards whose limits have been completely maxed out and I'm paying off 2 personal loans. I've been trying to pay off these loans multiple times in the past, so much so that they continue to return to haunt me. I would appreciate your help and guidance in getting out of this debt spiral.
Pradeep from Pune, I think you know that you're in a real tight corner. You need some drastic steps to get out of debt, and I can only suggest the following protocol. It's going to sound tough and harsh, but if you want to get out of debt, you'll have to follow this. 1. Line up all your debts and rank them from the highest interest to the lowest one, and begin paying off your highest cost loans first and aggressively. 2. Find assets that you can sell to pay off these loans. Some old fixed deposits, some gold, some plot of land, whatever you can find that can be sold to pay off this debt, you should do that. 3. Cut your living costs drastically. No eating out, no entertainment, no shopping. Increase your savings aggressively so you can pay off all your debt. 4. Of course, you don't take on any new debt. You're already in a tight corner. 5. Ask your family and friends for help and promise to pay them back once you're out of this mess. 6. Talk to your bank. Sometimes the bank will agree to renegotiate the loan. But this, remember, will mess up your credit score. It should be your last resort. 7. Find out why you're in such a mess. Our spending habits usually point to something deeper inside that makes us take these self-goal decisions. Work out that wrinkle as to why you took these loans. Unless you do that and solve it from a fundamental place, you will find yourself back in the mess over the next few years. Pradeep, I do hope you're able to find your way out of this darkness. There's always a way out, and I hope that you're able to find it. And that's a wrap for today. I enjoy answering your money questions. Remember, I don't look at individual portfolios. I don't recommend products. Look upon this space as a place to ask strategy questions, doubts, and just basic things that you might not understand. Each time you have a good money outcome, I feel that I have won. To make sure that you don't miss an episode, press follow and help your friends get money smart by sharing a link with them. You can reach out to me at mailme@monicahullan.com. That's Monica with a K. Tag my social media handles @MonicaHullan. And finally, remember that you should have money and money should not have you. So let's talk money again soon. Bye.
Let's Talk Money is hosted by Monica Hullan. This is a Made in India production. Creative Director, May Mariam Thomas. Project Manager, Sean Phantom. Head of Audio Production, Karthik Kulkarni. Producer, Meghna Gulati. Sound Editor, Lakshman Parasuram. Artwork Design by Alika Gupta.